And welcome back to the Rosie on the House weekly radio broadcast. If you're just joining us, we are down in Tucson for the Saba Home Show. We're here twice a year for this this Saba Home Show, as advertised, the best home show ever built. And I've been to a lot, and I can say they got a pretty good claim there. If you have, actually, I'm just talking Phoenix and Sedona, so you probably don't have the Daily Star newspaper. There's a $3 off coupon, so I'll mention that again in the next hour. But we're joined right now by a retired Marriott chef, and Van, what do you refer to yourself as Tucson's tour guide?
I try to now look at it as a historian, a living historian, and I do a lot of reenactments and give a lot of historical talks about the 1860s, the 1880s, and how we got to where we are today.
And when we talked yesterday, there was a series of movies by John Wayne that were shot mm-hmm. at Old Tucson Studios. Mm-hmm. Run through those again.
Okay. When John Wayne got out here, he saw that this could be a gold mine, actually. And he came out to survey the land, and he actually made four movies out here out of the close to 200 movies that he made in his lifetime. He picked four, and they were Rio Bravo, McClintock, El Dorado, and Rio Lobo. And I think most of us have probably seen at least one of those, if not all four of them, several times.
And Rio Bravo and El Dorado are easily mixed up. It's basically the same storyline, but his sidekicks change.
Yes, and if you take McClintock out of that whole mix, the other three were all written by the same screenwriter and directed by the same director, which was Howard Hawks. And it's basically the same script. It's just a couple little tweaks here and there, but it's pretty much the same movie. And probably why most of us continue to like watching them.
And there's something unique about that screenwriter that wrote those.
Yes, Lee Brackett, yes. First of all, it was a woman, and she spelled her name L-E-I-G-H. And Howard Hawks had never met a female screenwriter. And when he finally met her on one of the sets, he almost collapsed because he didn't understand how a woman could actually grasp at the heartstrings of a man and become that emotional on paper with all these words. And from that point on, he changed his outlook on female screenwriters and actually sought them out for any Westerns that might come his way.
Now, of those four you mentioned, I misunderstood yesterday. I thought McClintock was one of the ones that was written by a woman. And I was thinking about that yesterday. I thought, well, maybe that's how they got away with the end of the movie. When his wife in that, I think her name is Katie, I can't remember, but she's been giving him a hard time the whole movie. And at the end, she ends up getting tarred and feathered and mm-hmm. running around in her undergarments. And John Wayne spanks her publicly in front of the horseshoer's shop. And I thought, well, that's how they got away with it. A woman wrote it.
No, that's a good story, but no, I don't believe it happened that way. But
that was not one that was written by Lee. Okay. So I'm still not sure how they got away with that then.
Maureen O'Hara that played that character, and she was in, I think, seven or eight movies with John Wayne, and they actually got along superbly.
It's really neat hearing the backstories behind a lot of these. We're not a big TV family or a big movie family, but we did watch old Westerns a lot, and just hearing the backstories behind these make them feel more real mm-hmm. than just watching them on the screen.
Yes, that is true. In fact, that's the same way I feel. You know, I didn't seek this out. It just kind of happened. And as I learned more and more, I said, this is where it's really, really interesting. And I just love it.
So in your reenactments, do you ever reenact the McClintock form and spank your sidekick?
No, that one I don't do.
What are some of your reenactments?
I do fellas that probably most people around, even this area, have never heard of. But I do Walter Vail, who actually owned the Empire Ranch, which is down near Sonoyta, Arizona. It's a little bit south of here, about 50 miles or so. I do Pete Kitchen, who is actually in the Canoa Ranch area, which is off of I-19 south of here. And I also do, one of my most recent characters I do is actually Doc Holliday. People have asked for that, so I've kind of given into it and done as much research as I can. And I'll tell you, it's a lot different than what you see on the movie screens.
Can you twirl one revolver forward and one backwards
no,
like Val Kilmer did when he reenacted Doc Holliday?
Not without bruising my toes, I can, no, because they're going to fall out of my hand.
Can you shoot three bullets out of a double barrel shotgun without reloading like you did in that movie?
little movie magic there, yeah. And if anybody watches that again, please look for those things, because it is something to see.
That battle at the OK Corral, mm-hmm. he magically had three shells out of a double barrel shotgun, and he shoots so many times out of his six shooters, I can't count that fast, but I know it's more than six.
You're one of the only people that's actually mentioned that to me in the past year. So you've paid attention very well.
I don't know if it's that I paid attention so well or that I've seen that particular movie so many times that mm-hmm. you start picking up the little quirks after seeing it, and it's you know what's coming, you know what to expect, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a second.
And you probably know the whole script forward and backwards.
there's so many quotable lines out of that one too, especially, you know, I'm your Huckleberry. That was just brilliant. As he goes into battle with that last gun duel with Johnny Ringo.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, that is quite something. In fact, I saw the movie several times, and each time I saw it, I did have a slight smile on my face because I thought it was entertaining. It's not real factual, but it was very, very entertaining. And that's what you're looking for, is to be entertained.
And you said you're going to be out at Old Tucson Studios this afternoon.
I will be out there.
What's on your agenda?
Today I'll probably be doing at least one or two of the walking tours today, telling a little bit about the history of the park. And you might see me out there as a judge or a sheriff, maybe a gambler, maybe a mercantile owner. You never know. But I'll be giving some small vignettes. They're talks of about 15 minutes apiece.
Okay. And is that what a tour is, about 15 minutes?
The tour itself is about 25 to 30 minutes long. And unfortunately, it's way too short to give a full history of the entire park. But we do as well as we can with certain little pieces. And if people want to ask questions afterwards, they may do that. That's perfectly fine. I'm there all day today, and you can ask me anything you wish.
Well, listening to everything that you do there, I don't know how you fit it into your time, but you also work at another museum.
Yes, I work at the Arizona Historical Society Museum at 2nd and Park in Tucson, which is right across the street from the University of Arizona. And I work there on Friday afternoons out there.
And tell me about that museum and what they have on that you can learn there.
They have got a lot of different history items in that museum. They're all kind of broken up into different rooms. Wyatt Earp's pistol is there currently under glass, so you can go in there and see some of the firearms, and one of those is Wyatt's. You can also see the rifle that Geronimo was captured with. His rifle is out there also at the museum. And there's also a 1928 Studebaker that was used by the police department, the police chief out here at the time, and it is a gorgeous vehicle, I'll tell you. And we also have a stagecoach, actually used in several of the movies that have been done in this area. And it's just a lot of history, all the way back to when this was Spain, all the way up until very current. And we always have recycled items that are coming up all the time, because that basement that we have is full of great stuff.
And you had mentioned Geronimo, and I don't want to keep lingering on movies because you've got so much more information, but that was one we didn't talk about yesterday with Robert Duvall. Mm-hmm. Where was that shot? Because the scenery in that, it had to be it had to be Southwest. They couldn't have faked it like Little House on the Prairie.
Some of that was New Mexico. Some was here in certain areas, in certain canyon areas that were fairly well isolated. which, you know, when you're watching it on film, you don't think, well, how did this happen? How'd they get those horses out here? How'd they get the cameras out here? And it's very, very treacherous sometimes, especially if you've had a rain. You know, how do you get the vehicles out there to carry all this? And then how are you going to get everybody out there? So it can be very, very tricky sometimes. But if you watch enough of the Westerns, you'll figure out which states and which areas they're filmed in.
And did they let Geronimo use that rifle that he surrendered with when Gene Hackman takes it from him when he surrenders? Was that his real rifle? Did y'all loan out the rifle for that shot?
No. That was a replica.
I'd imagine that rifle's worth a pretty penny.
I would guess, and I don't know a dollar figure, but I think just from a historical standpoint, it's unlimited as to what its value is.
That and well, I'm going to have to sneak out of the Hot Saba Home Show and go see these while they're on display. That are those guns that y'all regularly have in the basement, or do they travel all over the country?
No, we don't always have them. That's the thing. So while they're here, try to make it down there to see those things, and just enjoy it. Go through again. You know, it takes several times of going through because there's an awful lot to read and a lot to see, and we just try to touch on everything, whether it's the mining history that we've had. Some people are enthralled with all of that. We actually have a stamp mill in the museum.
And what's a stamp mill?
That's where the rocks are crushed into smaller pieces, and then many times just that's how the silver or gold or whatever the mineral is that we're looking for is then taken out of the larger rocks. They're just actually crushing machines is what they are. And I know that when that was put in way before my time, into the museum, they actually asked, where do you want this? And it was out in the side yard. And they said, well, build it right here on this concrete platform. And then they built the building around it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's not going
anywhere.
So
that's how they got it in. They just built it around it.
That's how they got it in. Not planning on ever taking it out. So it's there for a long time.
Well, we've got one more segment coming up. Stay tuned, and we'll share a little bit about just what you can find in Tucson if you spend a few minutes to look around.